step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
My little Chilminauts.
Yes, sir.
And welcome back to Chill Mini number 39.
Yum, 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 yum,
the 39th minisode.
Kind of nice.
Isn't it? Wow, Jesse's joining in now. Oh, we got him.
You ever think about how three threes is nine?
Damn.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and that's it. That's this week's minisode. See you guys next week.
See you next week.
Adios.
Okay.
Well, sometimes the knowledge that we drop, it's so strong that that's just the show.
That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Part of our runtime is you thinking about it for 15 minutes.
You ever think about that? 12. Oh,
four
yeah.
Threes is 12.
All right.
The minisode,
Jesse,
is just, we just,
because you're excited
we just
today.
Do math. So.
I'm excited. You're hitting me first. Well, I feel like I want to give you a story. This is kind of a Cox and Crendo crossover with this podcast. A podcast crossover.
Future guest on Chilluminati.
We found this article. It's weird. It is. You will not expect this twist and turn, but it is about David Lynch, so maybe you will.
Okay,
here we
okay.
go. This is a photo. This is a description of a photo. In the
I know
photo,
exactly what this is. Oh, I know
in
what this
photo,
is.
In the photo, David Lynch is sitting thing. On a couch, and next to him are five Woody Woodpeckers, stuffed Woody Woodpeckers. And this is the description of the photo. And I can't even, I have so many questions, I'm just going to take you on a ride. All right,
what?
Here we go. David Lynch is recalling a day in 1981 when he says he rescued five Woody Woodpecker toys that he saw hanging up as he drove past a petrol station. I screeched on the brakes. I do a U-turn, go back, and I buy them, and I save their lives, he says seriously. I name them Chucko, Buster, Pete, Bob, and Dan. And they were my boys. And they were in my office. They were my dear friends for a while. But certain traits started coming out in them, and they became not so nice.
They're my boys.
Looking straight ahead, he says with grim finality, they're not in my life anymore.
What?
What is this? That's the caption of this photo.
So it's just, it's David Lynch looking like normie-ass 90s David Lynch.
Yes.
and
he's on a couch with five exact replica Woody Woodpecker stuffed figures, stuffed toys. And he says he saw them at a gas station, did a U-turn to go get them. Which is great. I don't know how he saw them driving by, but he did a U-turn to get them.
Five Woody Woodpeckers?
and then he bought them, took them to his office, gave them names. He said they were my boys,
Chucko,
and they were at my office.
Chucko, Buster,
Pete,
Dan,
Bob, and
Peter,
Dan.
Bob. Yep.
And then the insanity is he then ends it with they were my dear friends for a while, but certain traits started coming out, and they became not so nice. They are not in my life anymore.
Do you think it's like, do you think it's like performance art?
I don't know. I don't know
because it's David Lynch.
Because it's David Lynch. I don't know if this is a man who desperately needs help or if it's just David Lynch being David Lynch.
Yeah, he's maybe the weird, like, you know how weird it is when you're watching Twin Peaks for the first time and you don't know what's going to happen. And then fucking Josie Packard turns into a fucking like doorknob or whatever the fuck she turns into. Yeah.
I just,
that shit is like so fucked up in a way that like your brain would never think of that.
There are it's every so time weird. I've watched David Lynch stuff, especially his like weird shorts. I don't.
Those shorts are.
I don't I don't know how to explain it to anyone, but I also know that deep underneath this is perhaps David Lynch was a normal person, and then five Woody Woodpeckers came to life and tortured this man.
He was just like a tech dad with a fanny pack in 91. And then he was like, I will make Eraserhead.
I named them Chucko, Buster, Pete, Bob, and Dan. They were my friends for a while, but certain traits started coming out and they became not so nice. Think, they're not in my life anymore.
What do you think they did together? Like, what do you think their friendship was about?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Which one of them was he sleeping with?
What traits? Chucko. What certain traits came out?
You think it was Chucko? Who did he make watch?
Dan.
Yeah, Dan's a watcher.
Dan's the watcher. Yeah. Got it.
Dan's a watcher's name. Sorry, Dan.
I can't. It's the craziest. It is three paragraphs that I have read repeatedly today, and I can't get over how insane those three paragraphs are.
I think from start to finish. I think he really is a genius.
Oh,
like
no
he's
doubt.
He's operating on another level. You know what I mean? Like he knows how I feel about these five Woody Woodpecker dolls.
I don't know if either of you keep up with him currently, but he's on YouTube. He has a YouTube. So this is what he's doing. I'm not sure what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But his YouTube channel for the beginning part of COVID, it was him at home. And he to the first couple of videos he made, he would be like, today I'm going to tell you the weather in California is, and he'd just give a weather report. But in the background was this weird jar and it kept getting painted and people were like, what is that jar? And he would never mention it. It would just be there. And then eventually he's like, this is my number jar and we're going to draw numbers from the jar. And so he starts drawing numbers and then he never draws seven. And everyone's like, why isn't he picking up seven? What? It's been weeks. Why no seven? And people are just like losing their minds. Then finally he draws a seven. He's like seven. And everyone's like, what is he doing? It's crazy.
Imagine having that reputation. I would kill for that. I would kill to have that reputation.
Meanwhile, he's literally just drawing numbers from a jar and reading the weather. People are like, what does it mean?
People are like,
it's amazing.
He's like, I used to be friends with a Woody Woodpecker. And then everybody's like, what is he doing to me?
It's it's wild because you know it's either one of two things. He's just like, these people are going to go crazy while I draw numbers and I'll never draw seven. Or he's like trying to tell some fucking wacko story that you can't piece together until you dissect it for 20 hours.
I watched him do a video where he was like, I'm going to teach you how to make broccoli. And he like steams the broccoli with like chicken bouillon water. And he's like, okay, now we got to wait 8 minutes. Come with me. And you go out on the balcony with him. And he's like, when I was in the desert, I went on this train. He tells us like whole story about how he like went out in the desert and he got a bottle of Coca-Cola and he like gave it to somebody who'd never had Coca-Cola before and it like blew his mind or something like that. I do not remember the actual story, but it was like some weird story about that. And he was like, anyway, let's get back to the broccoli and just went back inside. And he was like, and this is a good broccoli for you to eat. But in the middle of it, for no reason, he just tells this like extremely bizarre, long-winded story outside.
I honestly love that so much.
I just went to go look today. His today's number today, as he's 131.21, the comments are like, man, if we don't get two sevens in a row, I'm going to lose it. And this person's like, still waiting for 11 to come up. That would be very Lynchian.
Why would it be Lynchian?
Amazing. I don't know.
People out there are like, he drew another three. The three committee will be happy. What does that mean? The comments are just as crazy.
How many views is he pulling down? Like for real? Is he putting us to shame?
He is.
With his jar?
Say that this video has 6,000 views and 227 comments. It came up today. I don't know what time.
Yesterday, that's pretty fast.
12 hours ago. All right. The numbers clearly do not do as well as his weather report. David Lynch is a 131.21 weather report. 12 hours ago, 23,000 views. And it's just him for 1 minute giving the weather. And not even like a weird way. You can see in the reflection of his sunglasses, he's just reading the weather report off a computer.
Yeah. But it's David Lynch saying it. How Lynchian.
I mean, you're not wrong, I guess. That is the most technical definition of lynching.
I'm so I had no idea that he was like doing stuff on the reg.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's so old.
What else is... Because he's done. He's basically done, right? So every... What is it? Season three.
Twin Peaks season three.
That was the last thing he did, right? That was it.
That's the last thing that I know of that he put out. But like, I don't know what he's up to. Like, apparently he's doing some shit. Apparently, I mean, when you leave him alone for too long, he starts to multiply Woody Woodpecker dolls.
All right. I'm going to go to the next one real quick because this is one Jesse's aware of. And actually I have questions here. We're going to cover this because we might as well.
Okay.
Has science solved the Dyatlov Pass mystery? This is, I think, the third time we're revisiting this goddamn...
And this isn't the goof one that I sent you where it was Bigfoot?
With the space laser?
No, this is a different one that was on National Geographic.
This is the real one, not the fake one where it was Bigfoot the entire time. Gotcha.
No, there's two that came out. There's the real one, like some fake one. The real one, science is saying... that the this was published on the 20th of January, 2021, so just a few days ago, by Rob and George Andrews on National Geographic, and they are once again saying it is an avalanche, but it is a small avalanche that was delayed and preceded by a lot of like heavy, like kind of drifting snow. And the reason the tents were all ripped open, it was because the tents were being smothered. And so they needed to get out because the avalanche was coming and the stuff that was hitting them was like smothering the tents.
Okay.
And so they cut their way out, left, but dragged some people that were already not in already good shape. And that's why it looks like there were people that were kind of like in weird positions. They're not sure what happened afterward, though, like why they were in trees and stuff like that. But they do fully believe that the reason that they left was because of this weird, delayed, small avalanche that came and...
Well, could they have gotten up in the trees to avoid being hit by... Like, we get up higher so the snow doesn't hit us and we don't end up under it, maybe?
They're basically just saying, though, they don't have a reason to explain why all the bodies where they were, the tongue being missing and all that stuff and whatnot. But that, you know, the theories continue from... Then they're looking at theories that we already covered in the episode.
Who paid for this study? Was it Russia? Was the Russian government?
Oh, good question.
Was it Putin who paid for this?
I remember a story that we read recently that was like the case is back open or something like that.
Yeah, that was a couple months ago. Yeah. In an article published today in the journal is the Journal of Communications, Earth and Environment. Researchers presenting data pointing to the likelihood that a bizarrely small delayed avalanche may have be responsible for the gruesome injuries and deaths of nine experienced hikers.
What is the name of this journal?
Communications, Earth, and Environment is what National Geographic is sourcing. Let's click on this. So this is it's nature.com that goes to this. Johan Guam and Alexander Puzrin. You can click on them. Alexander Puzrin is an institute for geotechnical engineering. Ooh, this is Switzerland. Switzerland. Two Wild. Switzerland scientists did this.
Wow.
The other one was Johan Guam, School of Architecture, Civil and Environmental Engineering, EPFL, blah, 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 blah. So they're both, you know, not nobodies, and it wasn't Russia. There's actually like, they can show, I'll link the
this
article.
This is a legit study.
Yes. Yeah. Here, I'm linking it right here into the Zoom chat. You can actually go look at what they're talking about, smothering and where the wind slab was coming.
It literally has the abstract and the introduction, the results of the study.
Oh, this is the
full on
study. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can see like graphs and charts and all sorts of things. Wow.
Yep.
This isn't BS. Okay.
Nope. Yep. This is not BS. This is from a few days ago, not the meme article that you had.
Although, again, who sponsored the study? I'll look into that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, how do you know that there wasn't a Bigfoot at
sponsoring this study?
Yeah, like
how
like,
do you Bigfoot
know,
spend their money? Great question.
Well, here's something.
There's a lot of math
in 2015, the investigative committee of the Russian Federation reopened the investigation, and in 2019 concluded that a snow avalanche was the most probable cause of
the Russian
accident.
Federation opened it?
That was for the 2015 to 2019.
The same Russian Federation that hit them with lasers?
Not exactly.
But
Russian space
it's
lasers.
It's consistent with this study, what they said, right?
Yes, so, that's what it seems like. It's consistent.
Interesting.
Based on the significant amount of data published material, it seems that previous investigations lack an important ingredient, a quantifiable physical mechanism that can reconcile the avalanche hypothesis with seemingly conflicting evidence. Identifying such a mechanism may provide new insights into the nature of storm-triggered snowpack instabilities, which is another important motivation for this work. So they're basically saying, like, they concluded all this stuff, but they still were missing like it didn't make sense. There was a missing puzzle piece and they created the missing puzzle piece. This is how they think it went down.
Amazing. This is a very thorough investigation. I mean, there is so much math in this that I'm surprised.
It's slope angle and friction. Cause they have a whole topography of it and like the whole area. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to take this is an insane breakdown.
I mean, look, I know that people who don't understand it and just want the mystery to be alive are just going to take one look at the study and say, no, it's a lie. But that's not the kind of thinking that you can do anymore. Look, just look at it, like read it, and just
these equations are just like my brain hurts.
Yeah, but
at them.
I mean, like, how can you trust a thing where H is a number? Come on, guys.
Right? What are we in alphabet land? What is this, letter town? You crazy
assholes.
You can't
have letter fractions. What are letter fractions? Anyway, yeah, that's what I wanted to bring to the table. I thought you had actually thought of this, Jesse, but...
No, I had not seen this. I had seen the one that said Bigfoot shot them all. But
now we know.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I just want to put this out there. Dyatlov Pass episode was like 2 years ago. That was episode 11.
Tell me things like that because I was younger then.
You were younger then. That was August of 2018.
We could actually hang out with see each other. Remember when we did?
Yeah, we saw each other.
Like we did a live show. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, shout out to Boston, the only city.
Yeah, of our live show city. Tour. Yeah, that was it.
The last place I ever went was Boston.
Yeah.
Well, our audience has grown since then. So the next one in 10 more years, whenever it'll be.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Off.
I can't wait for Alex to fall in more piss water.
Dude, that was invigorating, though. Let's be real.
Invigorating.
Like, I felt like I was in at a punk show again. It felt great.
I know it's weird. Shout out to that ballroom they closed down because of the pandemic, unfortunately.
No. Not enough live events, huh?
No. Yeah, surprise.
Damn.
That sucks.
Alex, you got anything for us?
Yes, I do. I do have something from December. From metro.co.uk, which is a website whose slogan is news, ellipses, but not as you know it. So picture this, okay? It's just a little bit before Christmas, okay? You're the mom of the house. You got your groceries, you got your vegetables, you got to prepare some food for your clan to eat. Oh, no. You're in Essex, for your England. Clan.
Okay.
Okay. And yeah. You're just doing the little thing that you normally do with your sprouts. You go, you top and tail them, you cut them, you put a little cross on the bottom so they cook better. We know this. But imagine, I'm going to just read the quote. Ready? I was taking out the sprouts, topping and tailing them and putting a cross on the bottom when I saw a face. And I remember thinking, oh my God, it could be Jesus.
Oh no. I'm so excited.
So I sent you guys a link to the picture of Brussels sprouts Jesus. And I'm just going to read you guys. I'm going to read you guys some quotes from this article. I didn't have the heart to cook him, so I left the sprout in a corner cupboard and he just sat up there for a little while. I thought it was funny, and it was even funnier because I found him just before Christmas. When I saw the face, I shouted to the kids, look, I don't know if it's Johnny Depp or Jesus. It reminds me of that meme that's out there that I don't know if it's true or not, where they said they gave their grandmother a gift saying it was a picture of Jesus and it's a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi from Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
When I spotted this particular sprout, I thought it was funny. It just made me laugh. I said to my friends, I wish for Johnny Depp for Christmas, and I got him at the bottom of a sprout. I like them roasted with a little bit of Parmesan or with a little bit of maple syrup and nutmeg or a little bit of bacon.
Ooh, maple syrup. I never tried that before.
And then this article ends with the greatest quote that I've ever heard in an article, which is, Jesus, the Brussels sprout, was put in the recycling bin after he started looking less like Jesus. And it was enough to get her name in the paper. It looks a lot like Jesus, to its credit. And sure, she also got a picture of herself and her two kids, which is, you know, always fun.
Kind of looks like Hitler wearing a hood,
or Johnny Depp.
Do you not see what I'm saying?
I do
not
see
the Hitler stash.
It has a little Johnny Depp though.
Yeah, I see the Johnny Depp. I see the Hitler. I see the Jesus, but I also see who does it even remind me of? Like Uncle Rico. Like he's got like that sort of like almost like the human version of Snoopy's cousin. You know that other beagle.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yes.
He's just got that, like, my name is Earl energy on this Brussels sprout. I don't know.
My favorite part is the image of the family.
The kids.
It looks like how you would imagine a modern British family. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's the old way, you know, like, you know, 50 years ago, what you would imagine a Brit looked like. And now there's, like, the modern Brit family.
And they
looks
really
exactly
have the look.
Like how you would imagine them.
Yeah, shout out to that kid in the Yankees hat, though. That's representing. Representing. But shout outs to Essex. Shout outs to, fuck it. Shout outs to Jesus. Shout outs to John.
Yeah, shout outs to everyone. Shout out to everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a pleasant little story to end this little mini-sode on. Thanks so much, Alex, for tying it up with a smile and a Brussels sprout.
I'm,
Jesus.
I'm linking this in the subreddit right now without any context.
Right. Excellent. All right. That's it for us, guys. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode following our next episode. Thank you guys for the support on the Patreon as always. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Hello, my little Chaluminauts.
You can't do this.
Come on. That was perfect.
That was
perfect.
Very good.
Hello, my little Chaluminauts.
I hate it. Still hate it.
Is that a Mathis impression?
That's Mathis's patented greeting to these mini-sodes. Guys, welcome to the mini-sode. This is the mini-sode for episode 89 of the show, which featured Davis as a guest. And so Davis is here on the mini-sode as well. What a treat for you guys listening to this months later
what
and being like,
treat.
Oh, wow, another episode with Davis.
Unless you didn't like me and then it's like, fuck, this guy.
Unless you didn't like me. He said it himself, folks. Patreon.com/ yeah. Patreon.com/Chaluminati Pod is who you have to thank for being able to hear this at all. But if you want to hear them right as we finish our episode, they're uploaded at the exact same time. So if you're enjoying these and you want to hear them as they come in a little more timely manner, go ahead and sign up there. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. But also today, in lieu of articles, it's a little special just because we have a guest here. I thought it would be fun to do listener stories for today's mini-sode. So I got each of us a little listener story to read. So, Jesse, I have one for you here.
Oh no.
To kick us off, I hope you don't mind. This one was specifically for you, so there it is in the chat for you there. Go ahead and check it out.
A story specifically for me?
That's right.
Oh no. All right. Wow, this is a long one. Okay. A story for Jesse, the possessed baby. This is by Dr. Philly.
It was just too good. Like I couldn't.
Is he referring to you as the possessed baby, or it's
no?
Just,
I hope
the possessed
not.
Baby is the title. I hope the story.
A story for Jesse, aka the possessed baby, aka Kronkosaurus Rex.
Hi everyone, longtime listener from the Netherlands here. Feel free to use this story in the podcast, guys. I've told it many times in publications, really? And even on national television a couple of times in my country. What? Okay. I feel like most community stories here are focused on pleasing Alex and Mike. However, this story is one that will please Jesse for once. I feel like he deserves a win, too.
Poor guy.
This story starts back in 2008. I was about 12 years old. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Just, what a baby.
Oh, my God. That makes me feel
also
so
old. Also, a great summer of movies. We got Dark Knight, Iron Man, Hellboy 2. Oh,
wow.
Tropic Thunder.
What a year.
Great.
I was about 12 years old and sitting in a restaurant with my family on holiday in Portugal. I've always wanted to go.
It's amazing.
Me too.
I'll let you read the story.
Let's all go, the three of us. Let's make the plan now. Like a sisterhood of traveling minisode.
I was like, we should do time in Portugal before Coxcon, but
I would love to go to Portugal. I have a very close friend of which I am. I have a very close family of which I am the youngest. I have two older sisters and an older brother. We were enjoying the warm summer evening on the terrace at night, having some refreshing drinks and reminiscing tales of our family. We were talking about weird facts about my siblings from when they were younger. My brother would fall a lot as a kid, but just stand back up with a big smile on his face. Turns out he was always a tough MF-er with a big heart. My youngest sister had bad reactions to paracetamol, which triggered epileptic seizures, which almost killed her a couple of times. Oh my God. My oldest sister almost got abducted by a creep as a kid. Those kinds of stories. That's the kind of story. I think every big family has a couple similar stories that are weird, concerning, funny, or downright bizarre. Look, I almost decapitated my cousin. It's fine. We all have those stories.
What?
It was at Disneyland. We were riding in boats.
You know what? It's true. I almost fell off a cliff because I slipped in my cousin's 7-Up.
Like
I was a Badlands.
Everyone has like a weird, crazy story from when they were a kid that you somehow survived. Yeah. It seems like my brother and sisters had many things going on with them in the past. Injuries, broken relationships, getting lost in the supermarket, you name it. Then the attention turned to me, the Benjamin of the group. My mom explained that she always thought there was something special about me. A medium once told her that I had a sixth sense of sorts and I would achieve great things on a spiritual level. In the end, I became a TV performer in psychological illusionism. So I guess she was sort of right while being very wrong. My acts are based on trickery and psychology, not paranormal. Interesting. I feel like a lot of magicians who do the whole like magician-y thing. Yeah, they know they're tricking. Like they'll say, I'm about to lie to you. And then they'll do something and be like, gotcha, fools. Like, yeah, the good ones will do that. Where was I? I apparently knew things I shouldn't have been able to know, like the unannounced pregnancy of a friend of the family, including the gender, that sort of thing. My mom told me that these grand stories about me doing impossible things, I could not remember any of it. My dad would shake his head here and there in disbelieving and contradicting way. He is not a spiritual person at all. However, suddenly he remembered something interesting. The tone of his voice suddenly became very serious. Among all the strong tales my mother told, which he told us to take with a kilogram of salt. I love
very
that.
Very European.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
There was one instance that he could not explain. Apparently, when I was one, not exactly an infant, but still a baby, there was something very serious going on with me. up until the age of one, I was a particularly chill baby. Not much crying and very cute, which is still a fact.
How strange.
This is my favorite part, which is still a fact to this day. Not much crying. Still a chill baby. Very cute. But suddenly, starting at some random day, my parents would wake up to me crying and in complete panic. So they would go upstairs and soothe me and get me back to sleep. All would be well. I would be peacefully asleep. They go back downstairs, but 10 minutes later, bam, I'd be crying, kicking, and screaming again. This would happen multiple times at night and go on for weeks. So my parents took me to a doctor, I assume threw me on a slab and were like, fix our kid, yo. That's good parenting.
Hell yeah.
Since we live in a country where healthcare is not only free, but also very high quality. Thanks.
This is an attack.
Wow. Ouch. Specialists were involved. I was put through a plethora of tests. Would you say it's a plethora? A plethora of tests. The doctors could find nothing wrong with me. My parents were very concerned and felt powerless. There was something wrong with their youngest baby, and they were still recovering from a miscarriage before me. Since it didn't stop, my mother was convinced it must have been a haunting. It must have been haunted. What? We lived in a 17th century house that used to be a brothel, a hospital, a morgue, and was headquarters for a group of Waffen SS that got killed by mortar in the room where I slept. You are haunted. Jesus. Holy shit.
Jesus.
If there was a haunting, it would be in this house.
It's like an entire Doctor Who episode in one bedroom.
The house, beautiful as it is, had a creepy vibe. I'll share some pictures that are publicly available so you can see what I'm talking about. And there are pics here.
Wow. It is a beautiful home.
This is a...
Look at that. Look at that pool. Wow.
This is an incredibly beautiful home. Also, third picture... Oh, is God. What I assume is the sign of the brothel that was there before, right?
This house is so God, gorgeous. Yeah. God, this is nice.
This house definitely has a history.
It looks like the house. It looks like the house from the girl from the dragon tattoo, though. Let's be real.
It's not like I'm like I love like modern styling stuff. So it's not my style. But like if I just like had this house, I'd be like, I could live a happy life here.
The difference with it being in Europe over like something of that style in America is that like it's real. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not like manufactured to fit a vibe. It's like, no, this is, it's actually is that vibe.
Yeah.
I love the whole bridge of the little stream and what a quaint, totally haunted house.
I completely believe that you were haunted.
I can like see, what was it? Alma? What was the Fear 3? Like I could see like a weird ghost child like walking,
from the windows.
Walking across the like pool and like just light footsteps in the water. Wild.
So my mom started inviting mediums. My dad strongly disapproved, but still kept one eye shut because he didn't know what to do either. The strongest medium, as my mom says, I also don't know what this means. She probably, she was probably Archmage at Winterhold or something. Gotcha.
Oh, it's from Skyrim.
Gotcha. Was certain that the house was not only possessed by many deceased souls, but it was demon infested. My mom went into total protection mode and had the whole house cleansed. They held seances to repel the demons. My mom invited her witch's coven to control the spirits. She was into Wicca at the time. Just a little note.
Oh, yeah. By the way, she had a witch's coven. No big deal.
However, nothing seemed to help. In fact, it got even worse as time went on. My parents thought of moving, but they had their business where we lived, and the house was a huge investment. I mean, I can tell that. The house is gorgeous. But then, when they were at their most desperate, it suddenly stopped. It just stopped. No more night terrors for baby Dr. Philly. I got older. My parents never told anyone about the incident. Growing up in the house had some bumps in the night, which is common for an old, creaky house like that, but nothing crazy as the haunted baby ever happened. As my dad finished the story in the Portuguese restaurant, my mom got a little emotional. My sisters asked questions about if they ever figured it out. My dad shook his head. Suddenly, my brother started snickering from the end of the table. He started laughing. My dad got annoyed and was like, dude, this is a very serious subject. Why are you laughing? My brother went, well, I guess now is a good time as any to come clean. Oh, my God.
Oh, the Jesse twist.
I love this. My parents were dumbfounded. What did their idiot son do now? Play with the Ouija board? Sell his soul to the devil for a PS1? Mathis. Sell my soul for a new skateboard? Turns out he thought it was funny to sneak out of his bed in the middle of the night, softly walk up the stairs to my room, grab a hold of me while shaking me violently. Whoa! Wake up, Dr. Philly, wake up! Then I would be in a complete panic, not knowing what was going on and not be able to make use of words to explain what was happening. My brother would then sneak back downstairs, pretend to be asleep, and my parents got out of bed to calm me down. He would be laughing under his covers, waiting for 30 minutes, get up, repeat the process. This tomfoolery, pardon my English, went on for months, and my brother kept it secret for 12 years. Today we're laughing about it anytime the story comes up, but there you see, guys, it's not always something paranormal. Sometimes it's just an annoying older brother being a cunt. This one's for you, Jesse. Have a good one, boys.
But what was possessing the brother? The brother.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
I will say this, the story, which is great, by the way, the story about the house, though, I think is fascinating. Just like the background, because my parents, when they lived in Kentucky, they lived in an area of Louisville that literally is right next to the Rutherford B. Hayes, like where he had, I guess, plantation. Also next to a Native American burial ground, next to a Civil War battlefield, next, like, all these different places that I was like, if there was ever some place that was going to be haunted. Plus, my parents, their guest bedroom where I slept was like the creepiest room ever. It had weird yellow wallpaper. And they were like, it was from the original house. We don't want to change it. And I'm like, this room is haunted. Never. Not once did I see a ghost. So I'm like, if there ever is going to be a ghost, it has to be at like one of these places. And the fact that he's like, it was my brother, just again goes to be like, I don't know. Still waiting for Twin a haunting. Peaks.
Could be Twin Peaks. You never know.
I don't know. But that was great. That
was a great story. You're right.
That is the perfect example of every time I hear a haunting story, I think to myself, like, all right, but what really happened?
Yeah. Thank you, baby Philly.
Yeah. Who's the brother under the bed?
Yep.
Okay. So that's that story. Davis, here's another one for you. A little different tone.
Okay.
Ooh, does this one have an art asset?
Does it?
I don't know. No. There's an image.
Okay. This one is called There's Something in the Forest.
Oh, no.
The story is okay to share on the podcast if you would like to. I've included some links to independent research of mine that could be of interest.
This is also by SLM.
Ooh. Isn't that like a esports team?
Probably.
Hey, guys. I've been listening for about a year now and really enjoy the show, so I thought I'd share my own experience from a few years ago. I definitely consider myself skeptical by nature, and these two encounters can probably be explained rationally, but sometimes an experience is too strange and intriguing not to share. I grew up and attended high school in a mid-sized Connecticut suburb. At the time, I was an avid runner and member of my high school's cross-country and track teams, so I spent a good amount of time practicing by going for long-distance runs around the area. We would start at the high school after classes were dismissed, navigate along the sidewalk, and end up going to either the local park to the south or meadow to the northeast, looping around tractor trails and by our town ferry. Oh, that's cool. Given that I had both grown up in the town and had been running the trails for all of high school, I was very familiar with the environment by the fall semester of my senior year. Around late September, when the cross-country season began ramping up, our coach would have the varsity folks split off from the remainder of the group so they could do more strenuous runs. 5 to 7 miles usually. I had finally qualified in my senior season, and so me and the other 6 varsity members decided to go down to the park and do loops in the forest trail. This is where the first oddity occurred.
I wish I had that energy.
Yeah.
Damn. Wish I had the energy to go do loops of
five
anything.
5 to 7 miles sounds, I could do like a mile in high school and it would like kill me. And I played tennis.
You're my literal hero. I literally want to be you.
After lagging behind the top 5 varsity members, there's a range of ability out of the 7 of us, and we couldn't really keep up. My friend and I were jogging along a trail which cuts through a brown field site. We decided to catch our breath and wander around the area, which mainly consists of dilapidated factory infrastructure, big dirt mounds, and the occasional pile of concrete rubble.
Stargate SG-1.
What is brownfield?
So I just looked it up. In urban planning, brownfield land is any previously developed land that is not currently in use that may potentially be contaminated with something. So it's former industrial sites of some sort.
Is that like people talk about like gray water? Like brownfield is like a similar idea of like it's not clean.
If you ever are driving around LA and you see like an area that's fenced off and in the middle there's nothing there, that's a brownfield site. Like no one's building there. It's just fenced off because they don't know.
What is that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of places like that. As we absentmindedly approached one of these concrete piles during our hike, I suddenly got a very bad cautionary feeling in the pit of my stomach. There were no visuals to back up my sudden concern, but I figured that since it was just the two of us out here, I should voice the feeling to my friend regardless. After all, no point in keeping quiet and potentially falling victim to avoidable danger. It's very rational. My friend actually agreed that he felt a similar sudden dread, and we both decided to continue our run back on the trail and return to more familiar territory. Normally, runs through the forest are very relaxing thanks to the scenery, but this felt entirely different. I was very, very aware of how the brownfield site had a lot of features, factory shells, pipes, rubbles, etc., which obstructed our line of sight. I felt like we were being stalked on our return and didn't feel safe until we were in the park clearing where the playground and dog park were. Both of us ran much faster than we would have otherwise, at some points fully sprinting along the trail to vacate the area as soon as possible. Like I said at the start, this alone can definitely be a psychological thing, but it's never happened before. Something just flipped like a switch for both of us out in the brownfield. I've never gone back and stayed strictly on the trails closest to the clearing. About 2 weeks later, the group had chosen to run in the meadow. It's basically a wide expanse of farmland where town landowners grow turf to sell. There's very little shade, and it can be quite the slog of a run in summer. But in autumn in Connecticut, makes the route pretty enjoyable.
Oh my God, I bet it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
I had stayed after class to finish up a conversation with the teacher, and so the rest of the team had gone ahead and I planned on rendezvousing with them. I started on my run, eventually reaching the meadow and approaching the trail nearby the ferry. Then I got the same feeling from the brownfield, only now I was alone. I continued my jog, hoping to reach the ferry building where at least other people would be in the vicinity. The meadow's tree line continues all along the path, separating the open turf fields from the river. Again, I was basically in an open sprint. I know this sounds very cliched, but mid-sprint, I tripped. Seriously, my foot rolled on top of a stone in the trail, and I stumbled forward and was on my hands. Once I stood up, I looked towards the trees again. Now, people respond to fear in different ways. Some people scream, some people use profanity, etc. However, I think the most visceral kind of fear response is when your whole body just tenses up and you fall dead silent. That's what happened to me when I turned around toward the tree line and saw a silhouetted, long-armed, bear-like figure peeping its head out from behind a tree. I got, holy shit, staring at me. Yeah. I didn't move. I just looked at it. Then the bear bounded away on two legs and slithered into the river.
What do you mean slithered?
What the fuck?
What do you mean then slithered into the river?
Slithered? I don't like that.
A snake bear. I made no noise. I ran, got back to the school, and went home. I've never seen it since, and I've since moved away to college. That's the story. It could be an animal or a hallucination or something else. I do not take drugs and I do not drink, but I think there's something in the forest. And then there's a little after note. After having written this, I did some research and found a Wikipedia page of American folklore creatures called fearsome critters. They're mythical, but it's the source of traditions like the jackalope. On it, there's something called the hide behind, which mostly fits the description. Maybe there's some truth to every myth. I'm not sure. Hope you guys enjoyed the tale. Looking forward to future episodes.
Wow. What the hell?
That gave me a little freaky feeling, didn't it?
Dude, it got me. I've been like really into like spooky little short stories. Like, I mean, I like read all of Lovecraft after playing Bloodborne, and I just listened to like an audiobook about like, it's like a Wolverine story. It's called Wolverine the Long Night. And it's sort of like creepy happenings in Alaska, and Wolverine's kind of involved. There's some weird killings. And I reading that, because I didn't read ahead, I was just reading. And when it got to the bear figure, I legitimately got freaked. It like,
you were
got
in it. Me. Yeah.
I was like, oh, whoa. I didn't read ahead. This is just what it said. And it was, I love, there's something like weird and spooky, but it's a thing, right? Like, don't we can, you can sense when you're being watched. You can be, you can.
Yeah. It's part of human nature. It's prime, like primal, part of who we are. There's
like a survival instinct.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why we are afraid of things behind us, things above us, and things below us. Because of when we had to run from things that ate us.
Yeah.
It's who we are.
There's click through to see the hide behind?
I'm looking at it right now. It's fascinating. It looks kind of like the way it was described. My favorite part about the introduction is it says their victims were, you know, were lumberjacks, and they would take them back and devour their intestines. But the best way to fight them off? Alcohol. I love that they have an aversion to alcohol. So if you're a lumberjack, drink at night is, I think,
that's
the lesson
like
here.
Fucking wasted, threw bro. That in there as a reason to justify their behavior.
I'll take it.
It's like, I feel like we've all been there and done that. When I was like 12 to 14, I lived in England, and I live right by a pond in a whole forest walk. And, you know, when you're young and you kind of like look around, and it could just be like any animal or even just the light or wind blowing, and you're like, I swear to God, I saw something there. And even as an adult, if you go out on like a hiker, sometimes you're just like, is there something? That's crazy. Or am I crazy? Or is there something? And is it a snake bear?
That story felt real because it didn't have like the dramatic trappings that some of these stories sometimes sure. have, where they like give like dramatic foreshadowing and stuff. I guess there was a little bit, but like the way that it shook out and the way that it felt, I felt it was an authentic feeling.
Let me just add, he's the age.
I mean, I guess he was a senior in high school, but also when you're younger, you're more susceptible. Like it feels totally like, I get it.
Let me add to this story, and I guess you can add this to the episode. I'm going to add a link. Gravity Falls did a 2-minute short on the hide.
The show is great.
It's a 2-minute video that exists that you can look up on YouTube, and it's the Dipper's Guide to the Unexplained, the Hide Behind. And it's great. It'll tell you everything you need to know about this strange critter.
I love that. One last story, a little quick one for you from Mythical Rake on the subreddit. Ooh. This one is called Marissa. Quick warning, this story jumps around a little bit. I had a Christian upbringing and never really believed spirits could visit us in our world until I had this experience. When I was 5, I believed I could remember being in heaven and held some knowledge of the Holy Trinity, something not very common for someone of that age in the church. After a few weeks of listening to me, my mother sat me down at the dinner table asking me to draw a picture of what it was like. I remember drawing what I believe was supposed to be Jesus, myself, and a crying little girl who caught my mother's eye. She asked me who the crying one was, and I responded with, "That's the little girl who asked to be your daughter, and he told her no." Looking shocked, my mother sat beside me with her head in her hands, and when she looked back at me, she explained I was supposed to have a twin sister, and every year around our birthday, she would have a visitation. My toys would go off when everyone was asleep. She would hear a little girl running and giggling around the house, calling out for her to come and play. This went on until I was about 4, when my brother and sister, both adopted, parents and I went to the jewelry store in my hometown to get her a Mother's Day gift. We picked out a ring with a birthstone for my father, brother, sister, and myself. But before we could pay, my father stopped them and asked for an extra garnet. From that day forward, the haunting stopped, but I've always felt that my sister's spirit has been with me.
Huh.
Pretty crazy.
That is
pretty crazy.
It is interesting.
Mythical Rake also adds in the comments that perhaps I didn't include it in the story, but even the doctor couldn't pinpoint why she didn't make it. The closest thing he could figure was that she was there long enough to make sure I would be safe before passing away.
I wonder, it's a fascinating story. I'm curious, you know how sometimes you will say a thing or think you know a thing, but it's only because you've been told it a long time ago and you just forgot. Like, I wonder if he knew that he had a sister, and then he just like, maybe, I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
They were 5 in the, when they were doing the drawings. So like, it's probably just some kid stuff.
Admittedly, kids are effing creepy. Like, I will see, you know how every so often you see kids and they say things and you're like, what did you just say? And they're like, the man at the door has horns, mommy. And you're like, the what? Like that, yeah. Like the boy under my bed says hello. Kids say stuff, and you're like, what are you actually saying right now? What do you?
There's a great like, that's a great rabbit hole on YouTube to jump down, is kids saying scary shit.
It's terrifying.
I don't need that in my life.
It's, you know, what do I do in the middle of the night? I watch other people's kids say haunting sentences that don't make any sense.
I already don't sleep enough for my Destiny and WoW addictions. I don't need to like also then just be too scared.
Yeah, I get that. But guys, we're here at the end of another wonderful minisode brought to you by patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod, the single greatest website ever made.
Single greatest website.
Thank you so much for your support. It means literally everything to us. Mathis can't be here because he's moving, but I'm sure he feels the same way. Davis, again, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It was my pleasure. It was very like stimulating from like a
lot of information.
All the stories were cool. The episode about the insane, the little rich person's bacchanalia thing was really, the Bohemian Grove?
Yeah. Coconut Grove. Yeah.
They're just like,
Coconut Grove.
They're so cool. And as like a writer, I'm like already thinking about how to adapt. Like, what's the Bohemian Grove, the horror movie, is like what I'm thinking of right now already. But it's been so much fun. This is great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I haven't had to like read something out loud in a long time. And I thought I hope I'm not, I hope I don't find out that I suck at like reading and then just saying it.
You sailed through. Yeah. You're great. Yeah.
You sailed through. Guys, thank you guys so much for your support. This is the minisode. This is the Chilluminati show. Thank you guys for being here. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, my little Chilluminauts.
Oh, God. I missed saying that. I heard you did it for me while I was gone, Alex.
Did you hear it? It was weird.
I did, actually. I did hear your little Chilluminauts.
It didn't feel very right.
Well done. I appreciate you tempting, though. I do appreciate it because they expect it at this point.
I got to keep the love alive. You know what I mean? But
they're paying $15 a month.
I appreciate it, by the way. Thank you, folks.
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. Welcome to the Chill Mini. I'm not sure what the boys have brought, but I'm just going to open this thing up with my favorite topic in the world, UFOs, baby. This comes from 6 days ago, February 26th. American Airlines, this is on CBS News. American Airlines pilot reports long cylindrical object zoom by while flying over New Mexico. An American Airlines pilot saw what he described as a long cylindrical object zoom over the jetliner as he was flying to Phoenix in the skies above New Mexico Sunday. The FBI said it's aware of the incident, and the Pentagon said the military wasn't conducting any tests in the area that day. Do you have any targets up here? One of the pilots of the American Flight 2292 asked air traffic controllers, according to a record of the transmission obtained by CBS News. We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us. American confirmed the transmission was from Flight 2292, heading from Cincinnati's airport to Phoenix. The airline referred additional questions to the FBI, which said it was aware of the incident. They said, while our policy is to neither confirm nor deny investigations, the FBI works continuously with our federal, state, local, and tribal partners to share intelligence and protect the public. Spokesman Frank Fisher of the FBI's field of office in Albuquerque, New Mexico, said in a statement, anyone who is aware of suspicious or criminal activity should contact their local law enforcement agency or the FBI. The Federal Aviation Administration said in a statement to the pilot reported the sighting over New Mexico shortly after afternoon on Sunday. The agency said air traffic controllers didn't see any object in the area on their radar scopes.
One of those metal obelisks. Monoliths? I
mean, it's the cigar-shaped kind of fridge. Oh, you mean the ones that are just like appearing and people are... Yeah,
maybe they just shoot up into the air. You ever think about that?
No, it's a freaking cigar-shaped UFO again.
Maybe that's what they've always been.
They're always around, dude. Constantly. So this is just another sighting over New Mexico, a hot spot of the area. The Pentagon people said nothing, which obviously doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean, even if they said there's no testing, there's none that doesn't mean that there's not. The Pentagon spokesperson told the National Security Correspondent the reported sighting happened about 400 miles away from the Army's White Sands missile range in southern New Mexico. So it was 400 miles from the closest missile range.
A spokesman said the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, known as DARPA, the Missile Defense Agency, and the U.S. Strategic Command didn't conduct any tests from the missile range on that Sunday.
Can you imagine just being that pilot? They're like, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it happens more often than you think. I'm always in, whenever I'm flying, I'm always looking out the window.
Just that feeling of like, what the fuck should I do?
Yeah, I imagine I'd be fucking scared. Like, because I imagine my first thought would be, oh shit, a missile.
All these passengers, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
scary.
That's scary, man. That's scary. That's my story, boys. No explanation, just another fascinating UFO story continuing to happen in 2021. Disclosure is constant.
I love that. I've got a mystery. I've got another mystery. It's a news story out of Indonesia, but it's based in, you know, one of the mysteries that's been plaguing mankind since the beginning, which is the mystery of our own life, our own birth, our own procreation, right?
Sure, sure.
This is the story of an Indonesian lady who gave birth to a healthy baby girl. Just recently, this story is from February 17th on the Folks paper. Don't know what that is, but I believe it has something to do with Indonesian news. Her name was Siti Zaina, and she's from Sianjur town in West Java. And this was all the rage in her town after she gave birth on that previous Wednesday before February 17th. She said, after afternoon prayers, I was lying face down on the floor when I suddenly felt wind enter my body through my vagina. And one hour later, she gave birth to a healthy baby girl. She said that she could feel her belly stretching and visibly watch it grow larger. And then she went into labor. And one hour later,
Umbrella Academy there or
ooh, dude, yeah, no, I don't know. But 1 hour later, she had a healthy baby girl. The police say the point is that we want to straighten out the confusing news about the pregnant woman who gave birth in a way perceived to be unnatural. We don't want this matter to foster wild rumors among the public. Who knows what's going on there? Obviously, you know, something like this, the first thing your mind goes to is cryptic pregnancy, which is the type of pregnancy where you do not know that you're pregnant and then suddenly you have a baby, which is just I can't imagine how surreal that must feel. But you never know. Could have been a gust of wind that blew right into her vagina.
Could have been. Yeah.
I guess.
Could have been.
That's weird, dude.
Not too bad. You know?
Not too fucking bad.
It's the type of mystery we don't get on this show a lot, but you know, it really makes you think.
I am at least thinking.
Really makes you think.
You know what? Sure. Virgin birth.
The thing that I feel bad about is like, do you think maybe she like fell in love with somebody?
And absolutely.
They weren't supposed to have.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely. Yes.
You think that's what it is?
I have to believe that unless there literally was a virgin birth, in which case, if that's true,
someone called God.
They don't really talk about her like love life in here. Like it could be that she's a perfectly, you know, regularly she has sex regularly with people and she just doesn't know that she got pregnant one time, but you know, it also could be it also could be that your boyfriend and you had a baby and you don't want anybody to know. So you were just like,
where'd that baby come from? Yeah.
Funny story. Remember how it was really windy the other day? You were like, this wind is like horny.
Whoa, God. Wind. Yeah.
Shit, dude. Relax. At least buy me a drink first. All right, Jesse, you got anything?
Yes, I do.
What do you got?
Last year, archaeologists were investigating this ancient mound site in Turkey, and it's in this greater region called the Konya Plain, which is, I guess, where many lost metropolises have been discovered. For some reason, this area is littered with ancient ruins. And while they were there, these researchers were directed by a local farmer to a nearby canal where they, I guess, it had recently been dredged, and it revealed this large stone that kind of looks like, I don't know, like the Rosetta Stone in shape and size. And it was marked with this unknown inscription. And the scientists were like, we could see it. James Osborne, the scientist, was like, we could see it sticking out of the water. So we jumped down in the canal, up to our waists, waded around, got over to it, called up people to come and like read what it said. And right away, we were clear it was an ancient inscription. And thankfully, the Luwian is the language. There are people who speak it and know it.
Oh, damn.
And so it was used in the Bronze and Iron Ages in that area.
Oh, my God.
And so with the aid of translators.
That kind of language alive is a miracle, by the way. I just want to say that. To keep a language from the Bronze and Iron Ages and still people today that can speak it.
And I bet it has to do something with like the Rosetta Stone and unlocking all of those words and like, yeah. So the translators came out. They took a look at the hieroglyphs and it was boasting of a military victory. Not just any military victory, but the defeat of Phrygia, an ancient kingdom that existed roughly 3,000 years ago. Phrygia, Phrygia, was ruled by a few people, but one of them named Midas. And based on this and the way it's bragging and the bragging of this steel, this big, you know, block, it's referring to the defeat of a King Midas. The stone marking also contains special hieroglyphics symbolizing that the victory came from another king, a guy named Hartapu. And it suggests that Midas was captured by Hartapu's forces. And it says the storm gods delivered the opposing king to his majesty. And what's significant about this isn't the Midas thing, because there are a bunch of people named Midas, and you know the story of Midas is, you know, just a story. But what's interesting is that Phrygia is a known commodity. It is a known kingdom. But no one knows a damn thing about a King Hartapu, nor what kingdom he ruled, nor whether, like, why this mound was there.
Maybe that's the city, just his MMO name.
Maybe. Or no one knows anything about that they're currently digging up what appears to be a giant city spanning 300 acres that could very well be the capital city of Hartapu's kingdom.
That's so fucking cool.
But they know nothing about it. And in a flash, they now have proof of new information regarding the Iron Age in the Middle East. And so they're digging up more and they're like, it's an incredible find. We just got lucky finding it. And now we kind of know what we're digging up. Yeah.
It's crazy that we're still finding cities on our planet that just been lost to time.
I mean,
and who holds information that could completely change what we assume about our own history like that.
Yeah, I just to rehash a thing I'll say all the time because I think it's fascinating. We look at ancient Greece the way ancient Greece looked at ancient Egypt,
which is
think about that.
It's hard to comprehend. Like it's really hard.
That's to put the pyramids that are at least 5,000 to 6,000 years old.
Yeah,
just like think about that's crazy. Like,
just a shout out to another podcast that I'm just a fan of. Hardcore History, man. Hardcore History does such a good job at like storytelling our own history. It's just
bless that man.
Yeah. Because I mean, he puts out like one podcast a month or two, or sometimes every 6 months, but like they're 4-hour deep dives in the most fascinating old world topics. That's cool, Jesse. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Oh, I'm going to look into that now.
I figured all would enjoy. I think it's super interesting that stuff like that still, like you're still discovering. Imagine what happens if we can like deal with the ocean. Right, we can like go.
Dude, they just did like there's like a new camera technology that's like just about to like
imagine make
that thing.
Yeah, who knows what weird shit we'll find? I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's bonkers. Yo, that's it for us on this minisode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with yet another minisode following whatever episode 91 is going to be. I will tell you two boys this: the next bigger topic, either 1 to 2 episodes. It's going to be the classic Betty and Barney Hill case.
Oh, no. Finally. Here we go.
It's time to get back to aliens. It's been a while. I'm excited. Thank you guys so much for your support on Patreon. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Anyway,
Me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.